Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in everyday life.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Spirit of School. Welcome to Spirit School of Ministry podcast. Today, I'm Jerry Bartasco. With me, to my right, is the man, my favorite guy, Pastor David Lean.
Wow, thank you.
Yes, and to my far, far left, all the way from Greece, my dear sister, Pastor Liz, is with us today.
Hi, guys.
Hi. Hello, brothers. This feels like that time we went to Alaska. We're all just like, hi.
Oh, my gosh. I just pulled up the picture of you guys in those hats up in Alaska. That's like one of my favorite things ever in the world.
I love that we bring joy to you.
Yes. I don't like to talk about that trip. I was almost caught in a glacier.
And the picture of David stuck in the glacier. That's another great moment.
I don't revisit that very much in my mind.
Oh, that's a good jumping off point today. Yeah, that was a great trip. Well, today we're happy you're here with us once again. But today we're going to be talking about the passion of the Word of God, or for the Word of God, or both.
Yeah,
is what we're going to be talking about today. So, David, when I talk about the passion, or I say passion for the Word of God, what comes to mind for you?
It's being pulled in by God, the Holy Spirit showing Jesus through the Word of God, and encountering you through the Scriptures, and just that being something that will continue to draw you and draw you even more forcefully each and every time.
Right.
Because as you know, it's kind of like, would you be passionate, to learn about something that's interesting to you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would. You know, would you be passionate, or would you be interested in eating something that's going to taste good and is going to nourish you? Probably, you know, especially if you're hungry. And so the Word of God becomes to you everything that you need. It becomes discovery. It becomes food. It becomes water. It becomes joy. It becomes connection with your best friend. And so, you want to be energetic about getting in the Word of God and passionate about that, because it's so much more than just a book. It's so much more than just learning things. It's, you know, someone is opening up their heart to you and sharing the deepest parts of themselves with you.
Yeah.
And if we just go and put ourselves in that position, we're going to hear God's heart.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Pastor Liz, what comes to mind for you when you hear passion for the Word of God?
To me, that is like, it's passion for life. Like, the Word is life itself. Mm. There is no life aside from the Word of God. So it's like, it's a passion for everything that's alive. And it's a passion to live to the fullest. Mm. That's how I think about passion for the Word. It's passion for life itself.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Passion for what's real.
Yeah. What about you, Jeremiah?
What's alive? I'm going to take Pastor Liz's definition. That was great. It's. I'll take a combination of yours. Passion for the Word is a passion to go deep and to know more. I think it's kind of the adventurous, mysterious that we're venturing into. By nature, that's kind of how I am. So I like to know more and to go deeper into things when, like you said, like if it's interesting to you, like to go deeper into it. Some of that's just a personal thing. Mm-hmm. But then as you discover something, you discover life, you discover a jewel, you discover a treasure, you're like, man, this is cool down here. Let's keep going.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let me ask Pastor Liz this. Why is reading the Word important?
I'll repeat my first answer.
I thought you might. And then I'm going to ask you to expand on it.
Yeah. Because it is life itself. There is no, it is God. It is like, that's Him available to you at every moment. And you can't actually experience the life of God without the Word of God.
Mm.
So I think that you can experience Christianity in some form without the Word, and people do, but it's a very pale shadow. God bless you, David. It's a very pale comparison to the actually what God has purposed for us. Mm. So reading, knowing the word is knowing the Lord.
Right.
I don't think there's a point. I'm just going to say this. Why would you be a Christian without the Bible, without the word of God? I don't, doesn't make sense to me unless it's just like a social thing, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
David, why is reading the word so important?
Because we need revelation. And so the word of God reveals God, reveals who we are. It reveals our purpose and our calling. And it's really hard to live in our world today because it's a place of confusion. You know, it's a place of turmoil. And, you know, there's different ideas about God and purpose and what a human being is. And there's different ways to the good life. And the Bible reveals the one way. You know, it's through Christ. And anyone can come to that one way, but that is the one way. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I love reading the word because if you approach the Bible correctly, which not everyone does, if you approach it correctly, you're going to receive revelation. God's going to show you something that you needed to see. The Holy Spirit is going to interpret the Bible to you.
Right.
And you're going to be able to, it's not going to ever be a waste of time. If you're coming to the word with the right heart, with the right understanding of what the word of God is, it will bring revelation. There have been Christians that didn't have written out Bibles, but they had sayings, they had oral traditions, they had accounts of Jesus, and Jesus is the word. And so they still feasted on what they had, and God would reveal to them through those things. Yeah. We have a surplus. We have the 66 books of the Bible. Some people add the Apocrypha, but we won't add the Apocrypha. You know, we have so much, you know, that we could just go in there and, and delve around and dig. And we can be complete. If we read the word, the Bible says we will be complete, ready for every good work.
Right.
The scripture is breathed out by God for a specific purpose, and that's to form Christ in you. It's to make you like the one that you're following. Mm. So he's writing you all these letters to help you be like him. And we say we want to be like him. So we should be unpacking those things.
Yeah.
With an interest, with a passion.
With a passion, of course. Let me ask.
Especially the Passion translation.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I had to put that one in there.
I wanted to ask you a follow-up, David. You said if you approach the Bible the correct way. So how would one go about approaching the Word of God the quote, correct way?
Well, just approach it the way the Bible says to approach it, which is scripture can't be broken. So it's a trustworthy guide. It's not just some curiosity thing. Okay. Scripture is one revelation, so it's not going to ever contradict itself. The main way you're going to approach the Bible though, is to say, I'm going to meet God in this. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, you can search the scriptures all day long and think that they give you life, like Liz said, but they actually tell you to come to me, right? They actually bring you to Christ. That's John 5:39-40. And so if we're encountering Jesus in the scripture, he's going to illuminate the Old Testament. He's going to make the New Testament relevant to us. And coming to the Word of God with an open heart, not just coming to be like, okay, well, like, what do I need to do, God? Mm-hmm. Like, show me the way here, like in a way of just like, I'm going to control this and be above the Word. You have to come underneath the Word of God to be taught. And Paul says there's a way to approach the scripture that is just the old covenant way. It's the letter, it's the law, and that will bring death. You're just like, God, give me the list of rules so I can do them. That's going to bring death. Mm. But Paul says the ministry of the Spirit brings life, brings righteousness. And the Holy Spirit in the same chapter, 2 Corinthians 3, he reveals Christ. And when we behold Christ, we're transformed into his same image from one degree of glory to the next. So really you're coming to the scripture to know God and to behold God. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be the revelation. That's going to be what the truth that frees you. If you just come to the scriptures to try to like do a religious ritual or to do your 15 minutes or just to do something that you think you're supposed to do. Or you're just like, okay, God, well, like I'm doing this pretty well. How come you're not helping me? That's going to bring death. Mm-hmm. There's going to be nothing helpful to you that way.
Gotcha. So Liz, to you, same question. Yeah. What would you say is, David gave a litany of things there. Mm-hmm. Maybe your own personal perspective. And then if you have any tips for people, how to approach the scriptures, how do you approach them? And knowing that you're approaching them in the biblical manner.
Yeah. I think it's important that you, come to the realization and the decision that the Bible, the Word of God is truth, that it's the truth. that it's not just a spiritual book with some good insights in it. It's not just spiritual writings that are helpful or give us good morals or help us be a good person. It is actually the truth.
Right.
And you have to approach it that way. You have to approach it like this is the commanded truth of God for human beings on the earth. And it's not optional. It's not, there are not things in there that are take it and leave it. You have to take the whole counsel of God. Like David was saying, you can't just pick pieces out of it as, again, just spirituality, you know? And I think that's a mistake people make in our current culture, although it's a very old problem, is they just want to be spiritual, but not actually come under the lordship of the truth.
Sure.
And the truth demands decision. The truth demands obedience. The truth demands an altering of lifestyle if it's actually the truth. And so I think reading the word, you have to approach it with that understanding and resolve in your soul that I'm hearing the truth. And if there's something in there that is contrary to my life, one thing has to change, and it's not going to be the truth. You know? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Good.
So
I love that. One thing came to mind for me as you were sharing, both of you were sharing, was that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if you want to develop your hearing, you have to go to the word. I like how you said it's, you know, his letters to us. It's his heart to us. It's his song to us. Yep. He sings over us in the scriptures. He's poetic to us in the scriptures. There are rules, if you will, but his decrees and the way he would like things ordered according to his divine purposes. But with that, when we read the word, our hearing is unlocked. It's like the ability to understand, and then it builds our faith to know who he is. And then that hopefully will propel us to, you know, delve deeper. Speaking of deeper, so Liz, I'll start with you on this one. How would a person go about cultivating a passion for the word of God?
It's kind of like we talked about in the prayer podcast, which I don't know, it was before or after this, but there's a drawing of the Holy Spirit that we should respond to, because he is the one that's going to lead us into all truth. And so I think understanding that anytime you're going to go to the word, you're going with the guide of the Holy Spirit. Good. That will help a lot in cultivating passion for the word, because that's you're good. Not just doing it like a school assignment to go read this book, this manual for 10 minutes or three chapters or whatever. You are actually doing it in partnership with a living spirit of truth. Mm. And so it's not dull that way. Right. So that's one way to cultivate a passion. And I would say just another very practical thing that was taught to me was to go to the word with purpose. Mm. Go to it with questions. Go to it with wonderings or with things that you need to dig out of it. That will give you a lot more motivation as you're in the word, and your hearing, I think, is turned on that way rather than just doing it like as a routine exercise that you're like, I read that and I don't know what I got out of it. But if you're going to the word with purpose of like, hey, what about this? Or what about that? Or what does this mean? Or God, why would you even put that in there? I don't know what that means. Tell me what this means. Why did you feel like it was important to put that in there? That will help you to connect your spirit, soul, and body as you're in the word.
Love that. David, what do you have to add to
cultivating a passion?
Cultivating a passion for the word of God. Yeah.
Again, like try to see Jesus in all of it.
Mm.
Because it all points to Christ. Everything in the Old Testament foreshadows Christ. Mm-hmm. It's one unified book. That's what makes me love the Bible so much, is it's all one revelation. It's a revelation of God's heart for humanity. And parts of it, you're like Liz was saying, how does this communicate Jesus? Mm-hmm. Like, how could it possibly be? And those areas will make you wrestle with God, and they'll draw you into prayer. You'll have fellowship over the Word of God. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to ask the Holy Spirit to show you stuff, and you'll be able to hear what the Holy Spirit says. Mm-hmm. And it's like the gift of tongues to help us pray. The Holy Spirit will give us the gift, you know, to interpret the Word of God. There's an anointing that teaches you all things, according to 1 John 2:2. Yeah. To also realize that it's kind of like solving a mystery when you go to the Bible, because he's given you the key, which is Jesus, you know, but you have to figure out how to unlock these things. Mm. And like the Holy Spirit's going to lead you. You also have this premise called the analogy of faith, which is that Scripture interprets Scripture. Mm. So you say, okay, if I'm just in the Scripture with the Holy Spirit, I can understand it. It's not some great mystery that only, you know, a seminary professor can tell me how to understand it.
Right.
And before I go running to the opinions of others, I want to ask God to teach me through this. Now, once I do that, if I'm still at a loss, I should definitely avail myself of teaching and other gifts of the Holy Spirit. But if I'm just letting other people solve all my problems, I'm losing my own passion to hear from God, you know, because he's going to, if I hear from God and then everybody else disagrees, I should probably take that into account, right? But if I hear from God and then it's confirmed by other people, that gives me so much faith that I'm like, hey, I'm really like God's communicating to me. He's communicating to me in a reliable, consistent way, one message, which is Christ.
Mm.
Okay, and so like it's not this whole, like, people have these views of the Bible. It's like, oh, it's ancient literature. It's, you know, there's like all kinds of stuff that you're going to
read.
Knowledge. And it's like, that's true. There's different genres in the Bible. There's so many, but they all are revealing God.
Right.
He's like, I spoke to you many times in the past through the prophets. Now I've spoken in the Son. Mm. So if you can't connect what you're reading to Jesus, you haven't wrestled with the Spirit. You haven't actually entered in and seen him in it. And there's more there for you.
It's really good.
Okay,
so what happens, we'll toss this to Pastor Liz to start, what happens when we don't read the Word?
We die.
I was waiting
for it. Dun, dun, dun. we die. Give us one more sentence on that. One, just a little more. We die.
Yeah.
Again.
We die.
Yeah. Because it's forever. Life. We know it. The Bible is life. The Word is life. But talk to us. Talk to us about that.
We don't live by bread alone, by every word proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. It's not possible for us to you can't pull things out of an empty well. So you must have the well of the Word of God in your life. And especially, I'm just going to say, especially if you are desiring to be in ministry, if you're operating ministry, if you are shepherding people, if you're evangelizing, whatever you're doing, if you don't have the well of the Word filled up in your life, you're just pulling out of your own soul. And that's not life-giving to people. And you will dry up and burn out. So the Word it's critical for us to be refreshed by the watering of the Word and to be digging the well of understanding in our own life. Because the way that it's designed to work is we hide the Word in our heart.
Right.
And at the right time, the Lord pulls it out, right? Like, it's your arsenal of truth. It's your arsenal of revelation. It's that storehouse of treasure. And that's what makes effective ministers, is that they have those things stored up for the Lord to pull. And the Holy Spirit's like, this word now, that word now. Right. Like, it's at the right time, at the right place. That's actually what makes people effective, is they've taken the time to dig the well. And when we don't do that, we have nothing. We may be wanting to be used by God. We may be trying to do our best to be available, but we're pulling dry buckets up out of the well.
You're pulling stuff out of somewhere.
Pulling up mud.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's actually interesting, because if it's our own flesh, you know, and we are made out of the dust of the ground, we're just pulling up. I got all theological there.
Ashes and dust, Maximus. Ashes and dust.
All we are is dust.
Okay. Jeremiah, why don't you speak into that, man? I know you got some stuff on this.
Well, speaking of wells, I love what Liz said there. I'm waiting for the book, Liz.
Oh.
I'm waiting for the book.
It'll be called The Well.
Is Digging Wells a book? Is that a title? Is that a thing?
I don't know. Okay. That was the name of our group.
I think it needs to be the name of a book, but okay. I don't know. Maybe she'll work on that. I don't know.
maybe.
Wow. Why is the Word of God so important? Or what happens when we don't read the word? I think there is a withering away of our life, our life force, our effort, our energy. You know, especially obviously for those who have come to know the Lord, I think there is that incorruptible seed that's been implanted into us with our new spirit, right? Born of God, by his word that lives and abides forever. So that's fantastic. That's great. But if we're not in the word, we are not getting nourished. We're not getting pruned. We're not getting everything we need for life and godliness. We're literally leaving on the shelf.
Good.
We're leaving on the table, so to speak. We will not understand God rightly. We will not understand his ways or his the way he arrives at things. We won't trust him at all because we won't know him. You don't trust people you don't know. You definitely won't trust God if you don't know him. It will be hard to believe for anything. I mean, like I said, it's like the opportunity for life, it's going to get choked out by the cares of the world and choked out by all your own thoughts. You'll drown in your own ambitions, your own ideas, your own misgivings, your own shortcomings. You will be flailing at best to keep your head above water. It is life, like Liz said, it's life to our souls, it's health to our flesh. I believe there is a serious withering away of our soul. Spirit's good, right? If you're born of God, but I believe the nourishment to the soul, the sanctification process that the Lord wants to continue in that forming of becoming like Christ, that's not happening.
Yeah.
You're not communing with Jesus because he is the word. And if you won't pick up to learn about him, you could say you love him all you want, but to be honest, you're not communing with him. So
yeah,
that's a tough one.
You know, what happens if we don't read the word? You know, we'll read something else. Mm. You know, like if you don't hear the word, you'll hear something else. You know, the Bible says you're either going to meditate on the law of the Lord or you're going to stand in the way of sinners and sit in the seat of scoffers and walk in the way of the ungodly. And that counsel just leads you towards selfishness and humanism and disappointment, and it doesn't bring life. It only brings death, right? And so you can choose who you're going to listen to. Mm-hmm. You can listen to Jesus and the Holy Spirit, or you can listen to the powers that are behind this present age.
Right.
And so you have to make that decision. And it says, blessed is the one that meditates day and night on the word of God. Right. It's not just reading the word, it's meditating and feasting on the word and chewing it over.
Yeah,
making it your meditation. Because if it's not your meditation, then the news is going to be your meditation or whatever, you know, gossip or you know, someone spilled the tea. That's what I'm going to think about. You know, it's like, what about if someone spilled the living water?
Ooh,
you know, sorry.
I love the thought. I love what Liz said about wells, because that is the picture, right? We're a vessel. And if we're not filling the vessel, then the vessel is dry, empty, and useless. Like it literally has no ability. And what God has designed us to is to be vessels for him, which is wild, right? He put this treasure in earthen vessels. He wants to live inside of us. But then in order to nourish, fill, supply, provide, we got to go to the word. You got to drink from the well of life and fill to the brim. I love the scripture. It says, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. You learn his ways by filling your heart with his word. And it's such a beautiful thing, the love letters that the Lord has written to us in his instructions that we can be full of, and it will make us more like him. Like it's the only way to become like him is to be a partaker of his word.
Yeah.
You have something?
I was just going to say also that the word of God is also the manifesto of inheritance. Like it's the, it is the testament. the will and New Testament, right? It's like this, the will and testament of what Christ paid for and what we have inherited. And if you are not familiar with the promises that have already been purchased for you, you will live at a much lower level and you will accept things in your life that you do not have to accept and you do not have to live under. Really? And so, you know, like knowledge is power. There's, you have to have a knowledge of the promises of God and the purchase of Jesus Christ so that you can live in the way and the abundance that he paid for you.
Right.
I think that sometimes people, we settle for so much less than we need to just because we're unaware, because we're not taking the time to actually digest. And like David said, meditate over, like, what does this actually mean? What is he saying for me, for my life? What did he purchase for me now? And am I actually living in that? Or have I been convinced that I'm less than that,
right,
and I should settle for the less? I don't deserve it. That's where the faith part comes in, you know, like having the word rehearsed in your ears and in your mind and in your soul, is that you begin to actually believe, like, no, this is, Christ did this, right, and I'm one with him and I'm in him, and this is his inheritance and it's my inheritance. Mm. And there, that's like the firm foundation then for your life.
Wow. So good. Speaking of firm foundation, Liz, can you tell us more? I know we're expanding on an answer you gave earlier, but what happens to us? Like, what is happening to us in our person? Or maybe you could give a personal account, like what happens as we step into that, as we start partaking of the word, as we start letting him fill our lives with his word, what happens to us?
What happens to us as we're partaking of the word?
Yes.
Is that the question? Okay. We receive the life of God. There is something. And again, it's not the letter.
Right.
It's the spirit of life that is supernaturally transmitted to us as we receive the word with faith by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. There is actually life that comes into us, the life of God, because we are eating the bread of life. There's a consumption that happens there. There's confrontation that happens in the word. You know, like James talks about, you look in the mirror and you see how things should be and you see how maybe they're not. And there's a clarity that happens in the word of God. You know, a lot of times people are walking around in confusion because they haven't learned how to digest the word that brings clarity and it brings light. Mm-hmm. The word brings light into darkness.
Right.
The word is miraculously able to heal and to deliver as we partake of it.
Right.
It is the presence of God with us.
That's good. Dave?
Just a random thing is coming to my mind that sometimes, you know, people, they're not going to interpret it right because of artificial divisions in the word of God, like the chapter divisions and the verse divisions. Mm-hmm. Those are added later. They're not inspired by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we're reading a part of the Bible and we stop too soon, or we didn't rewind far enough to get the whole context of what we're reading. Mm-hmm. So if you have that faith that the scripture interprets scripture and that the Holy Spirit's there to help you, read a bigger chunk and then think through that. Let God speak to you in a whole paragraph. Don't make him do a soundbite.
Right.
You know, like some people are like, what's my verse of the day? That could be okay. I just don't personally like that because you're not letting him actually say more than one. You're like, if this doesn't fit on a 20-second CNN bit, like I'm not going to listen to it.
Right.
Like let the word actually wash you and spend time in it. Don't be hurried, like we're talking about with prayer.
Right.
It's not like, oh, I glanced at YouVersion, so I read the Bible today. It's like you can't, that's not going to encounter God. He doesn't play that game, right? You know? He might graciously just visit you at night and reveal something to you. He's not limited. But in general, have unhurried time with God. Have a door shut. Like have a concordance out or a Blue Letter Bible app, which is really good. And just actually let God talk to you. Mm-hmm. Don't be like jump in mid-sentence on God. Mm-hmm. Or like, interrupt him before he's done. You're not going to get the whole picture. So that's a big burden I have, is that I wasn't taught to read that way until I was like 23 or 24, and it changed so much. So I just want to throw that one in.
It's really good.
Nice.
I just wanted to add One thing that happens when you read the word is something I heard Bill Johnson say. He said, when you partake of the word, it's the one thing that as you eat it, you will become more hungry. Mm. Like even though you think you're getting filled up, you're actually creating more of a hunger. So that for me has been really, really paramount, really. It's like, oh, as I get into the word, I think it was something that Liz was talking about earlier in a different podcast where you're cultivating and you're kind of digging and you're looking for the treasure. And when you find a piece of treasure, you're kind of like, what else is down here? What else is in here? Oh man, let's keep going.
Struck on.
Yeah. So it's like you find something and then you're like, wow, I want to know more about that. And where I didn't, you know, maybe when you're reading the word initially, you didn't have a drive or a passion to dig deeper. But as you get into the word and he reveals himself, there is this cool, I'm going to say he draws you with this pulling effect of you going deeper into him.
It's a current.
Yeah. You get into his current, right? And the Holy Spirit's like, well, that connects to this. And you're like, oh my gosh, I've never seen that before. And there's these really beautiful, I'm going to say micro revealings of himself, right? Where he shows you himself here. He shows you himself there. That's one of the things I love so much about when you get into the word. And then of course the fact that it's life, it's health, it's strength, it's faith, it's everything you need, right? It's packed in there. So let me ask you this, David, what is your, I know this will be kind of hard to keep it to less than 10 things. What is your absolute favorite aspect of the word of God? Like what, when you think of the word of God, the thing that you're just like, this is what I love about it. You can name off three. It's okay.
Yeah, I don't it's what I like about it. It reveals how God saved the world. Just like this, it's the best story you could ever read. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just like, how did he do this? Why did he choose to do it this way? Mm. You would never see it coming. Like if Satan didn't see it coming, that's why he fulfilled it, you know. Mm. So just like I love how in the Old Testament it's like this mystery where God, it is a mystery, where God, he hid what he was gonna do from the principalities and powers, but he was setting it up the whole time. Mm-hmm. And so, but then he came in the fullness of time through Jesus Christ and fulfilled the atonement, fulfilled the resurrection and brought the kingdom and the new covenant. And so it was just, it's so amazing how it reveals the wisdom of God and the heart of God and how he relates to his creation. Mm-hmm. That like, there's plenty of reasons to think of God the way philosophers think of him as just totally different, totally indifferent and apathetic and deistic and but it's just not what the word of God reveals. It reveals a God who's so passionate, like we're talking about, and a God who's suffering, a suffering God, a crucified God. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's a beauty that's like bloody and dirty and got dirt under the fingernails. And God says irreverent stuff, like things you wouldn't think he would say. Mm-hmm. You know, like he portrays himself as a mother. Mm-hmm. Like he does stuff that you'd be like, well, why does, that's not religious. Like that's not of the time. You know? If you really are looking, there's so much radical stuff in the word of God. Sure. And the religion that it proclaims is totally revolutionary. Mm-hmm. Like God, he created an entire revolution through Christ where we're supposed to, you know, the first will be last, the last will be first. It's an upside down kingdom. Mm-hmm. The poor are the blessed, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's not what we would think as capitalist, successful Americans, like, hey, everything's going to go good for me. I have my dreams. He's like, here's a cross. Here's what this is about. Mm-hmm. So like, it's so challenging of a book because it's truth. It challenges you and it turns you upside down and it turns the world upside down.
Right.
There's so much power in these ideas because they're God's ideas. And so like, if we don't know these ideas and we don't actually allow them to touch our heart, of course our life is going to be fruitless and it's going to be miserable because we're living by Satan's ideas or we're living by man's ideas where God says, here's my idea. I'll be crucified. Mm. You know, what is that about? It should just blow your mind. But the more that you're like, I've already learned what Malachi is, or I already know the gospel. I already know about Jesus. The more you take that attitude, you will not be shocked by what the Bible is. Because what it is a shocking document. Mm-hmm. Wow. I'll stop now.
But yeah, I love that. Shocking document. What for you, Liz? Same question. What is your favorite aspect of the word?
My favorite thing about the Word of God is that you can dig and dig and dig and dig and never reach the end of it. You will never be able to fully explain and have everything tied up in your own knowledge in the Word. Right. I love that. I know that for that. I love it because I know for the rest of my life, I will be learning and there will always be something new and there will always be something to unfold. There will always be fresh revelation and fresh oil. I know that I will never get to the end of it. That's my favorite thing about the Word.
I love that. Absolutely. So Liz, you are a discipler. You train people, you equip people. What would you say to, you know, our students, of course, and anybody listening to the podcast, how do we develop, you know, we talked about this in the prayer podcast. How do we develop that passion, that digging, that sense of getting into it? Like I can hear when you even talk about the Word, you and David, you guys sound passionate. You know, you found something that you love. How do you teach your, you know, the ones you're discipling and training and teaching about that, how to have a love for the Word? Like, where would you start with them?
Yeah. I think David mentioned this, or one of you, but you have, it starts with doing it. Mm-hmm. I think again, people wait for like, God, give me passion for your Word. Give me hunger for your Word. And they just sit and wait. And it's not that at all. It's you start to dig in because number one, we believe that it's truth and we believe that it's life. It's like a faith exercise of I know I need to be in this book. But as you do that with the inspiration of a Holy Spirit, then like you were saying, like you, when you get a revelation that no one taught you, you didn't hear from a podcast, you didn't hear from a pastor, you didn't hear like the Holy Spirit, you brought him a scripture that you did not understand and he makes it clear and he teaches you what it means. Like that feeling, that's the most addictive thing in the world, I think, is when you tapped into the mind of God personally.
Yeah.
And he gave you treasure from his spirit to your spirit. That right there is like, it's there that when you experience that for yourself, for real, that will fuel you to continue to dig. And the more you do it, the more you hunger for it.
Yeah.
It's an appetite that must be cultivated, but he will do it with you. It's not up to you to do it on your own. Your job is to seek. And then when you find, you'll want to keep seeking.
That's so good. So good. Dave, do you have anything to add on that?
Yeah. I mean, I love that, but I mean, I just think what you said earlier is so true for me is like, come to the Word. I tell people to meditate on the Word. Like before you really are reading big chunks, just start with like Psalms or something that's very, you know, from the heart and it reveals things about God. And understand, see like the honesty in it, but meditate on it. And if there's an idea that you're interested in, follow that flow and follow that current and keep going after your interests because God is teaching you something. God's going to highlight different things for different people. And he'll teach you things. And then when he reveals something, like Liz said, you'll have more of an appetite. You'll understand that you'll get somewhere when you go into the Word. And it's not just a routine. But you can't do that just by reading chunks or just by rehashing the past. You have to really like prayerfully turn over the Word of God and say, why did you say it that way? Why was this word used? What, you know, what does it mean in context? How does it reveal Jesus? What is this saying about me? What's it say about God? What's it say about my destiny? What's it say about the world? What is this telling me to do? How can I respond to this word? Why am I not responding to it? You have to have, you know, ask God all these questions and interrogate the scriptures and you'll get a lot of great answers off that. And like you said, then when you get into a subject, you can just camp out there for like weeks, you know, and someone might be like, how come you're not reading 5 chapters a day? But it's, I don't know, like you can do that. Maybe you can listen to it just to make sure you're getting the whole counsel, but go where the Holy Spirit's leading you because it's for a reason. He knows where he's going with it. You might not know, why am I learning about, you know, the incense altar? Why am I learning about this? You know, it's like, but then he has like a reason while you're learning about it.
Right. Why am I in Second Chronicles right now? I'm lost. Yeah. That's so good. What came to mind as you were saying that, Dave, is just this idea that as we present ourselves to the table, you know, he says that he lays out a banquet before us, right? His banner over us is love, and we have to partake of what he's presenting. And as we do, it's health, it's life, it's nourishment, it's light, it's insight. You know, one of the things that I love to cultivate is not just knowing the word, right? Like a lot of people think you have to know the word just to be able to quote it, right? Like it's more of a memory game, right? Like knowledge, and then I can quote.
Right.
And that's where I think some people kind of slow down with the reading of the word because they go, well, I don't know how this applies to me or where this even goes right now. And I think that goes into like what Liz said, you know, at the top of the podcast, like you're going into the word and you're pulling that into you. And then at a later date, the Lord's going to pull it out of you. Yeah. So you're creating a stockpile of treasure, if you will, right? Like you're mining. And I thought of Minecraft. I don't know. I was thinking Minecraft. My daughter plays Minecraft and she's always looking for diamonds and, you know, and these special things, but you have to dig and dig and dig and dig. And then when you find something, you're like, cool, this is of value. Let me store it away in my heart. And maybe I can use it now, or maybe the Lord will use this and pull it out of me later. Yeah. And so we have to know that all our efforts in cultivation, right? Like cultivation, if you think of that in terms of like planting or an orchard, you don't get fruit from that orchard in, you know, 4 days. Right. It could take 3 to 4 years. Now, not saying that the word of God is going to take 4 years to have a benefit to your life, although it might. And you never know. Like sometimes we get into the word and it immediately is saying something to you. And then a year later, it's saying something to you that's a little different. And then 4 years from now, that same scripture is saying something to you completely different, but it's building upon everything that it said to you. Yeah. I love, this is just, I nerd out on the complexity of what the Lord, when he says one thing, it can have layers of meanings. Yeah. Now we know the scripture has an essential meaning, like when you go define the word and use the scripture to interpret scripture and good biblical hermeneutics, blah, blah, blah. You can get down to what is he saying here? But when he says it, there's layers to it. Layers to his love, layers to his counsel, layers to his wisdom. That to me is just, it blows my mind all the time. Yeah. And I love that discovery about him. So, well, now we're talking about passion. I'm going to ask you a question that you asked us earlier.
Okay.
Are you always excited to get into the word? Are you always on fire and burning to just, I can't wait to go read my Bible this morning?
For the most part, because I want to be following his teachings. I wouldn't say I'm like super emotional all the time. There's always reasons why I'm in the word as a pastor, you know, so like I'm always teaching or something. So I'm always going to be in the word, but I never want to treat it as, I have to teach this or I have to give a talk or I have to, you know, I'm like, what are we learning here? And usually it's going to dovetail with other things that the Lord's been speaking to me about and teaching me about. It's all going to like weave in. Okay. So it's like, I look at it all as like, what is God revealing through his word and how am I going to see his character and see his plan more? So I always want to receive it as that of like, okay, Lord, like how does this stack up? Like you said, how does it stack up against everything that I've seen previously? And like, if it's something I've taught a bunch of times, like in spirit, we go through different classes every year, but I always want to be asking like, is there a new way you want me to look at this? Or is there a new application for this? And there almost always is. You pray like, God, is there something you want to do differently? The core isn't going to change, but maybe how it's presented or how it applies to people is going to be different. Maybe I'm at a different place, so like there's a different area of emphasis.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, if you're going to rightly divide the word of truth, that requires you to study and it requires you to meditate because you want to represent him well.
Yeah.
You know, like you don't just want to know him, you want to represent him in a way that's true to his heart. You know, I can not just give the letter.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the difference between a gospel minister and maybe like a law minister, or like a self-help minister. It was just like, am I going to give people the heart of God or the letter of God? Because I have to give them the letter, but the letter means nothing if it's not interpreted in light of God's heart, which was revealed in Christ. Okay, so it's all the lens of Jesus. So whenever I look at scripture through the lens of Jesus, it's pretty exciting because it is so counterintuitive. It's so upside down of how we're thinking on a daily basis.
Yeah.
But yeah, of course there's days I, you know, at the beginning, I don't want to be doing it. But I think as he starts to reveal things, you're like, wow, that's pretty cool. And it, you know, it builds your interest.
Yeah. So. I love that.
Liz, yeah. What about you, Jer?
So there are times there's different motives, I think, sometimes for me to get into the word. There's times, like you said, like I need to dip into study because there's some sort of ministry or class or something coming up. There would be something I just don't know. And I have a vague, like, I think the word says something about, you know, X, Y, Z. And then I go dig in and look it up. And then there's other times I just call it, like, I have times of just passion reading, which is like I'm reading some of the things that I love the most. Like I love reading Proverbs. I love reading the Psalms. I probably spend the majority of my personal reading just for my own self in Psalms and Proverbs. And lately I've been in 1st and 2nd Timothy a lot, just absorbing and staying in those places and meditating on those scriptures for, you know, times. So there's, I would say for me, there's different moments of motive. And then there are those moments where I realize like, oh, I haven't sat at the table for, you know, a minute, you know, or maybe I'm listening. You know, I'm kind of like constantly listening to either preaching or Bible teaching, but I'm not bringing myself there, right? Somebody went to the table, prepared a meal, and they're kind of feeding
DoorDash.
Me. DoorDash. I'm DoorDashing, yeah. I'm total DoorDashing on the fly. I'm getting my fast food.
Jesus said, I am the DoorDash. Yeah.
I am the door, and you must dash for me. I'm going through the drive-through, if you will, which, again, isn't bad. It's super good. You should be listening to the word. You should be, you know, listening to other people teach the word. That's all great. Mm-hmm. But all of that just... in a way for me, whets the appetite for like, oh, okay, what was this preacher saying? He said this and that stood out to me. So I'm going to go grab onto that scripture and go read it for myself. And like you both know very well, I'm sure. And Liz was saying this earlier, when you go reach out into the scripture reaches out and grabs you. Mm-hmm. Like there is a connection that happens when you're reaching into the word to go, what does this mean for my life? How do I bring this to bear, Lord? And you go apprehend what you were apprehended for. Like, I believe the word grabs you and pulls you into this wonderful place. So, to just kind of maybe bring things to a close today, Liz, I wanted to ask you, maybe you can fire this off first and David, and put you a little bit on the spot, but can you make an appeal to people, your own passionate appeal on not why, but the appeal to people and like they need to be in the word. Like how would you, what would you express to people today if they're not in the word, if they're, you know, kind of in, kind of out, like what would be your appeal to us today?
Yeah. I think if you are not in a consistent relationship with the word of God, you are missing out on one of the greatest loves of your life. It is, the word of God is such a steadfast access. There's such steadfast, presence of God available in the book, in the pursuit. It brings a stability. It'll bring a stability to your life that you've been looking for. It will bring hope to your life that you've been searching for. It will bring answers to you. It will bring peace when you don't have answers. It brings to you the closeness of God and the personal intention of God that he took the time to write to you and for you, and he speaks to you through it. So I think anybody who is trying to pursue God without developing a relationship with the word of God, you are missing the best part of God. You are missing the biggest part of who he is. And there's so much reward for cultivating a love for the word of God and allowing him to cultivate that in you. It will change everything. It will change everything about you, the word of God.
So good. David, your appeal?
Yeah, I think it's the word of God is a sword, and so it's going to kill and make alive. And so it's the agent of transformation in your life. So if you're stuck or if you don't know which way you're going, you need to encounter God in his word. You need to let him speak and call you out from the pit and call you out from your apathy, call you out from whatever sin. And the word of God it'll cut you loose and it will challenge you and it'll turn you away from yourself and say, no, that way led to destruction. Here's the everlasting way. So if you don't have the word in your life, you're missing that challenge and the adventure and the transformation to say, don't you want to die to yourself and live for God? Don't you want to die to yourself and live for something that endures? And so nothing else in this world can call you to something like that, can call you outside yourself to pour yourself out for others. Only this word of Christ can do that. And so you have to prize this word. You have to treasure it more than your necessary food, like Job said.
Right.
If you don't desire the word of God, fast and consume the word.
Yeah.
You know, do what it takes to cultivate a love and a passion for God. And also have the confidence. I know there's a lot of misinformation out there of like, even the Bible can't be trusted and it has contradictions and all that. That's all propaganda. Mm-hmm. Like if you actually come to it, like Liz said, with faith and through the lens of Jesus, how it all integrates, you're going to understand that it's cohesive, that it's mind blowing, that mm-hmm. contradictions are actually just tension, that in the Hebrew mind, tension was not contradiction. It would reveal more truth, more love, more challenge. And you'll see that God will prove himself over and over again if you diligently give yourself to the word of God. Yeah, it will bring transformation into your life. And it'll call you to adventures that you never thought you would do.
Yeah.
You'll be reading along, oh, I'm just having my coffee and I'm reading the book. Oh, wow, I guess I should give my life to this. Like, there's just, you never know when it's going to hit you, like right. when the calling is going to hit you.
I love that. Thank you for that, David. So you said something that it'll change you, transform you. And I think the word of God is the answer to the greatest lie of the enemy that we can't change, that we're stuck. Yeah. And where we were once dead in trespasses and sins, he has set us free, us free from that by the word of God.
Yeah.
And so the word of God is so essential. I love how Liz put it. If you don't have it, you know, you're missing out on the greatest love story. You're right. missing out on the greatest meal. You're missing out on the greatest moment of transformation or lifestyle of transformation and change. You're missing out on the power and all the other things that come with it. It is so essential to our lives. So with that, I actually would like to ask Pastor Liz to pray for us today as we close. On this topic of passion in the Word of God. So we're going to kick it to Liz, and Liz is going to pray us out.
All right. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the life that is in your Word. You send your life and you heal. You send your Word and you heal and you deliver and you manifest yourself. And so, Father, I just pray right now for all those that are hearing this, that they would hear an invitation to come closer to you, an invitation to come into the depths of your promises, the depths of your language, the depths of your intentions, and the way that you have communicated who you are to us, Lord. Father, we thank you that you did not hold yourself back from us, but you reveal yourself to us, God. And I pray, Lord, for a fresh revelation, Lord, on every life, a fresh revelation of the Holy Spirit to come and breathe on them as they are taking in your words, that they would be life to them, God, and that they would come alive as they partake of you. Jesus, you are the living word. And so we thank you that you come and abide. And when we make the opportunities to be with you, you are so present and you are so close. Yes. So I pray, Lord, for a boldness and a strength of conviction in people's lives to make time for the word of God, to make a focused and intentional time to receive from the word of God and to commune with the word and to allow the word to interrogate and to open up and to expose and to address and to heal and to comfort and all the things that it is, Lord. So we thank you, God, for your promises. We thank you that your word is steadfast. When you send your word, it accomplishes what you send it for, God. And so, Lord, we thank you for every purpose in the lives of your children, and that as they receive your word, it will accomplish in them what you sent it to do, Lord. Yeah. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Father God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Liz. We want to thank you for being with us once again, our dear sister, all the way from Greece, bringing the heat.
Yeah, so happy to be with you guys.
Awesome. Thank you so much from all of us here at the podcast. We will see you next time. Take care.
Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, visit spiritschoolofministry.com.